Since 1909, it's been necessary for drivers to hold a current licence in order to drive on New South Wales roads. Up until 1989, with the introduction of photo licences, drivers' licences were simply printed on paper, an imperfect system, as Gary Corbin, Unit Manager, Policy Implementation, and Tom Souter recall.
There'd always been a perception that the old paper licences were not a durable sort of a product. I can still remember the old bits of paper I used to have in my wallet years ago falling apart if you did have to show one to the policeman at the roadside. And of course, from the roadside enforcement point of view, well, you really didn't know whether or not the person was his or her licence, or whether somebody was doing the wrong thing. And we felt that the integrity of the licensing system as a whole would be greatly improved by the introduction of a photographic driver licence.
There was a fair number of these fraudulent licences. Because they were paper licences, there were no photographs. So people were able to come in and say, well, my name's so-and-so, I need a licence. And if they did all the right things, they would get the licence in that name. Produce a little bit of identity, not the identity requirements we've got now. Now they'd go away and then they'd go into another registry with another lot of identity, get another one and so on. And then they'd misuse the licence for traffic offences or other reasons.
In view of these sorts of problems, the DMT set up a team of people in 1989 to develop a system of licensing which utilised portrait photographs. Gary Corbin and John Moore were formerly project officers with the photo licence team.
In the early days of the project, when we first started, there's a project group of 10 people. We're looking at technology, which was pretty new and pretty unique in terms of what the average Australian would have expected. We were going to be using a digital camera to capture images and produce the card using an engraving technique, which, rather than using a photographic process, actually engraved a picture onto a blank card. It was quite a unique process, using black inks and black and white engraving processes, which ultimately resulted in a picture of a person plus all of the relevant driver license data on a credit card size license. We had a change of government in 1988. The process, or the photo license program in the state, come very, very close on the heels of the Australia Card debate. And there was a fairly intense a number of groups who were complaining that the digital technology had the capacity to do things other than produce licences, and we're in a position that once that decision was taken, that all the work that we'd actually done was largely redundant, and we had to retrack all of our steps, organise new contracts with providers, and develop a system which was basically a lip-sealed photo licence in a little plastic pouch, which just used a normal photographic process.
There were privacy concerns about the fact that the images could be stored and sent to Canberra. At that time, there was a furore over the Australia card, and there was a concern that those images were going to be associated with the Australia card. So that system was canned. We had to go back and develop another system based on 1960s photographic technology.
The challenging task of introducing photo licences was done in stages, beginning in 1991 with the holders of gold licences.
Because we couldn't possibly do the whole 4 million licensees in any one year, we had to work on a selection process for photograph licences. And that process was based on a program which was run every week on the IBM, which selected who was going to get a photo license and who was only going to get a paper license. While the selection program was good and basically looked at who'd held their license the longest, where some inequities appeared was where you looked at an area which was largely a retirees area, and the demographics of that area suggested that everybody there had held a license for a lot of years, like, let's say, the Central Coast, Gosford, compared to an area like Engadine, where the demographics and the average age group were much lower, but people had certainly qualified. And we were quite often had to respond to requests to the minister as why a 65-year-old retiree in Gosford didn't get selected for a gold licence, but his 30-year-old son in Engadine did.
In 1994, the photo licensing arrangements were reviewed and the use of a digital photo was revisited. One feature incorporated in the new photo license to counter persistent incidents of license forgery is a unique self-centering hologram. As Kevin Salway, project officer with the over-the-counter license project, commented.
Most holograms that are designed today are on a continuous roll and they just roll on and it goes as a class as a secure overlay. I wanted to be a real devil's advocate and say, I don't want that. I want something that stops and starts. What it is a PVC card is basically a set size. Now, to make sure that the hologram design stops in the same place every time on everybody's card so that everybody's hologram is the same, we have to have sensors on the machine that actually activates the hologram and the hologram ribbon itself so that these sensors pick up the sensor on the ribbon and they stop it. And so therefore when the heat is transferred from the roller to roll the hologram on, it goes on the same place on everybody's license card rather than having a continuous hologram where you might have one part of a design on yours and the next person will have a design on theirs. And thus, if you look at the design, you'll see in the four critical areas where the four state crests are go over the four crucial points of the license. They actually go over the card number, the image, the signature and the person's detail.
The RTA's digital photo licensing technology has subsequently been used for firearms licensing and photographic security cards. Also, in 1992 to 1993, the organisation piloted the production of proof of age cards for the Department of Gaming and Racing. Ken Suter was involved in this project and describes the lengths some young people went to obtain false proof of age cards.
The government wanted to control young people visiting hotels and clubs, so they introduced a proof of age card. So when they decided that the RTA or the DMT had the technology to do that because they were already issuing photo licences. But all of the proof of identity constraints aren't as tight as they are with... They're pretty much as tight, but not quite as tight as they are with proof of identity for a licence or registration. So consequently, some young people have been abusing it. The typical scam there was that you'll get... The legitimate little Johnny Jones would go into a motor registry, apply for proof of age card, and he would get it. Then some other person, perhaps a bit younger, a few days later, would go along to the motor registry, purport to be little Johnny Jones, have all the same documentation, and say that the dog ate his card, or he lost it, or he fell in the river, and he wanted a replacement card. And because he had all of the evidence and he could quote chapter and verse what happened 3 or 4 days earlier because his friend had related that to him, the registry person, they thought that this was the legitimate person, so they took his photo again and gave him a replacement card. So with a different photo on it, of course, because it's a different young fella. Now you've got two Johnny Joneses with exactly the same particulars on their card, except for their photos.